My guest today, Glenda Benavides, found the person who was going to make her dreams come true in her singing career. He wanted to be her partner. Seduced by his charm and interest, she soon became a slave to his wishes. Until her inner voice finally won out, Glenda shares her lessons and those that were tested again and again, so that you can move forward, rise up, and believe in yourself again. Hi, I'm Rosie Aiello, and welcome to the Vulnerable to Valuable podcast. We talk about moving forward after experiencing narcissistic, controlling, demeaning, and abusive relationships. If you've been in one of those, like me, you know what I'm talking about. You're not alone. You've been through some painful stuff. Shame, blame, that inner bully inside you. My mission is to lift and inspire you. Give you the ways you can reclaim your voice and value, your confidence, and the courage to be the new empowered you. Today, coming up in the podcast, our guest, Glenda Benavides, puts her vulnerability on a platter to share with you how she let herself get sucked into a narcissistic relationship. Her lessons are many, and each one will help you find your path to empowerment, value, and becoming a badass goddess. We're going to talk with Glenda in a moment, and first, a mini masterclass. I share these mini masterclasses to show you a path to reclaiming your voice, value, and confidence, to looking at yourself in a new, deeper way. And you'll hear more about that from our guest today, where she breaks down how she lost her power and what she did to reclaim herself. Listen carefully because they really are amazing and her stories are just wonderful. So today I'm pulling from Freedom Fulfillment Pillar number 3, knowing what's important to you so that you can stand in your power and your authentic self. You know, as I was preparing for this, I was looking back on my life, and to be honest, you know, I just taking an honest evaluation of how I showed up, too many times I didn't value myself. I compensated for that by being extra nice and by giving and being supportive. All those things that seem like great ideas, but were done for the wrong reasons, to gain approval and acceptance, which of course leads to the wrong outcome. This is so important. And I would, like, even when I look back at my relationship, I had a 25-year abusive relationship, and it's just like, I just gave all my power away. I was so busy trying to prove my worth that there was no time for me to believe in myself. So when you try to prove your worth, when you think you have to keep doing something to get someone to like you, and when you start to feel exhausted in doing all of that, like I did, oh my gosh, I was wiped out. Those are signs that you are giving your power away. And they're also signs that it's an unhealthy relationship. And giving your power away is just another way to say people pleasing. Listen to this. You know, so many women keep getting sucked into this trap. So you have either thrown your values out the door, or you never really even looked at what is important to you. You're constantly looking at other people's values, what was important to them, and defining yourself by them, by what they wanted. So what happens is that this creates a downward spiral. This is a problem because most of this is at an unconscious level. And you need to become aware of this, that it's unconscious, so you can shift. And this is what I've been doing with my clients every single time. So giving your power away, people pleasing, and just being aware of your values stem from that feeling that you're not good enough. That's why you go out trying to prove yourself for something you don't have to prove. You are worthy, period. You are enough, period. There's no proving to be had. Let that sink in. No proving. So reflect on your behaviors. How are you showing up? Ask yourself, where am I trying to prove myself? How am I doing it? Now, you may have trouble thinking of that. It's like, oh, I didn't prove myself. This is just who I am. This is, you know, I like giving and I like doing this. I hear this over and over. It's like it's so deep in their unconscious. It's become just a habit that you're totally aware of. So what you can do is just kind of think of relationships where you're feeling a bit or maybe even a lot uncomfortable or stressed out. You know, there's all different levels, but you don't have to feel uncomfortable or stressed out a lot. I want you to really start to evaluate all of your relationships. Those are going to give you the clues, the ones where you're not feeling comfortable, because it's kind of like your body is going to kind of know before you're going to be able to articulate it. This is important work, because what happens is you're going to be tested over and over, meaning people will come into your life who make you feel uncomfortable or where you slip into people-pleasing and dumbing down yourself. I mean, as I'm talking about this, you know, I'm thinking of too many relationships, you know, after I came back and after my escape and I came back, it's like, you know, I had a really abusive coach, and she wasn't my personal coach. It wasn't a one-on-one coaching. It was group coaching. That's where she had this habit of humiliating people in front of others. And I was, after I joined up with her, then I heard all the stories and I said, well, she's never done that to me. Well, she had never done it to me yet, but then she did it. And it's like, oh my God. And then things got worse, and she had so little compassion and empathy. There's a place not to have that when you're coaching. You don't want to, like, you want to raise your client up, but she wasn't raising me up. She was really insulting me. And there's a line that a coach should not cross. So that was one. And then there was other more, you know, business related ones where I felt like I had to prove myself or I was people pleasing. And then just like, it was just like second nature. Anyway, I'm running off, but you know, what the point is that these tests, these people are going to challenge your values and beliefs about yourself. So just start to create that awareness, start to have evaluation of the people in your life. And you deserve to be treated with kindness. And it starts by being kind to yourself. So here's a tip how you can start being kind to yourself. Start believing that you are enough. You are worthy. No proof required. No proof required. Okay. The only way to move forward and create an impact in your life is to know where you're at, where you want to go, and what's holding you back. Get started by taking the Freedom Fulfillment Quiz. In 4 short minutes, you'll discover where you are, where you want to be, and what you'll need to do. If you're serious about evolving into a new, empowered you who can show up as that confident woman she once was or wants to be, then start now. Your life is waiting for you. Go to freedomfulfillmentquiz.com. Today, we're going to meet Glenda Benavides, award-winning singer and founder of Global Badass Goddess, so that you can discover your authentic power, show up worthy, and end the people-pleasing. Glenda will be here in a moment. And first, thank you for downloading the Vulnerable to Valuable podcast, produced by the Love is Kind Network. We're just starting out. Please subscribe. Every 5-star review on iTunes and every share will help our mission to impact 100 million women worldwide who have lost their voice, value, and authenticity in narcissistic, controlling, and abusive relationships. Will you help us achieve that goal? Now, let's go from vulnerable to valuable with Glenda Benavides. Hi, Glenda. I'm so glad you're here on the Vulnerable to Valuable podcast.
Hi, Rosie. Thanks for having me on. Much love to you.
Yeah, same. It's a mutual love story between us. Mm-hmm. So I want to tell our dear listener what a big heart you have and who you are. Glenda Benavides is the founder of Global Badass Goddess, an award-winning singer, She's got a fabulous voice. You got to just Google her. Anyway, songwriter, leader, creates conscious activism, producer, author, and a good human. So I'm going to modify that just a little bit. I'm going to say a good, kind human.
Oh, thank you.
And she asks, you know, she says, well, what does it mean to be a badass goddess? A badass is someone who looks deeply inside oneself in order to evolve and be fully self-expressed in life. It's someone who faces challenges and fear while creating solutions that lead to possibility. Conscious, self-expressed, empowered, and courageous. And that is such, that just epitomizes exactly the woman, you know, or women that we're trying to help, I mean, help them get to that place where when you've been in really difficult relationships, in some kind of a toxic relationship, and you've just been crushed, you know, usually it's like out of the blue because you're not expecting it. And then as you're starting to climb your way back up, to be, like you said, fully expressed and empowered and courageous. And it takes all of those, right?
Completely. Absolutely. 100%.
Yeah. And so you had some moments, you know, when you weren't feeling that way. You were kind of like stunned on what was happening. So can you give our listener a kind of a background of what happened that kind of threw you off your tracks?
Yeah. Well, you know, it's so funny because it's very sneaky.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yes.
You go, I've always been pretty self-expressed in life, and I've always been out there doing my thing, recording, touring, you know, the whole nine yards. And where I got stuck or tripped up really was having the goals, which was really interesting. I had these goals to achieve a certain amount of success or fame in my life. And it actually, that was, for a better word, that was the faulty point on some levels, because what happened was I was in a time where I was pretty much starting to transition as a woman. You know, you go from young woman to, you know, the maiden to then you start heading into crone, you know. And for those of you that don't know that phase, it's when you become a mature woman and you start to hopefully have wisdom.
And it takes some of us a little while to get there.
Thank you. And I was transitioning in my career, and I thought that I would go ahead and take my music, turn it into some kind of live performance, interactive kind of experience. And I had this idea about this woman and da-da-da-da, and I was just designing and developing it. And I was sharing with a friend that I considered a friend at the time. He happened to be a Broadway star, and he was in Rent and Aida, and just a really sweet guy. I thought, oh man, he's great. And he's like, I told him my story, and Glenda, oh, I want to partner with you in this. And I'm like, oh my God, he wants to partner with me.
Yeah.
And I was like, so blown away that this person that was, you know, had achieved success that I really wanted to achieve. I didn't think I wanted to achieve it in Broadway, but I thought, okay, well, maybe spirit is leading me into this, because I had a really good story about a woman, you know, a woman lead and a, you know, anyway, he's like, I want to help you with this. And I want to partner with you is what he said. So we got together and we started down that road together. I threw a bunch of money in. Like my dad had just passed away.
Aww.
And I had like $10,000 from him. And I thought, oh, this is good. I'm evolving to the next part of my career. This is new and he's going to help me. And I dumped all this money in and he just kept taking money and taking money. And he helped me design things. Yes, we did. And I saw it all the way to the end. But long story short, what I found out and what I saw along the way, and I kept ignoring my own inner voice.
Yes, such an important comment. You kept ignoring your own inner voice.
Yes.
You kind of knew it was there, but not really. Full.
That's right. And I kept giving him my power.
Mm-hmm.
And how I was doing that was I kept kneeling and bowing to what he wanted. And when he said X, I jumped. When he said, I need $300 now, I jumped. When he said, I needed a ride, I jumped. I was there. I was the faithful, good friend, person, you know, business partner. You know, I was everything my parents had always told me how to be, you know, a good person, right? Fine, but don't throw it before swine. So halfway through this whole experience of 2 years, I started hearing my voice going, this is not right. Why are you doing this? You know, and it was definitely an ongoing conflict within myself around leave, just leave. You don't owe this person anything. You know, he's treating you poorly, really. And he's asking you to do all these things. And I'm doing all these things. Like I'm showing up 100% making things happen.
Excuse me. Did you guys have a contract, any kind of a contract written or agreement or anything?
I think we did. It's been a while since 2010. Right. Yeah. So I don't recall, but it could have been just a verbal agreement. I really don't remember, but I'm a very loyal type of personality. So
yes, I hear you.
Right. I don't just jump out at the sign of whatever, but I wasn't listening, Rosie. I just wasn't listening. I kept hearing the voice loud and clear and I just wasn't listening. And here's why I wasn't listening. Because I was holding myself hostage. I was holding myself hostage because of my desires, dreams, and passions that, and then giving my power over to him that he was going to help me fulfill my dream.
But you didn't, I hear what you're saying, but did you have that realization then that you were holding yourself hostage and you were giving your power away? Were you aware of that at that moment? Or is that some of the healing and awareness that you've created since then that to figure out, oh, that's really what happened and what I was doing?
It happened after. Yeah.
I would just want to, because I want to point that out, because I want women to understand, like when you're in the middle of it, you don't have that awareness, right? Yeah, she's not
correct.
Even yes. Yeah, you don't have that awareness. And that's why you started at the very beginning. It's so sneaky.
Sneaky.
Sneaky. It's just like, because, and how you were describing, he said something, you jumped. That was exactly what happened in my marriage. I just dropped everything in our courtship and everything. And I too had a voice, but I didn't even know about, I don't know about you, but for me, I was totally ignorant of my inner voice, even though it was talking, I didn't know what that was.
Yeah.
I didn't have any sense of my intuition, let alone listen to it. So it's interesting. The parallels are just
phenomenal.
Right on. Right.
Yeah. And I think you and I talked about this earlier. You don't have to be in a sexual relationship with somebody or an intimate one or a marriage or something. Like this happened to me and I was in a marriage that was fabulous.
Mm-hmm.
So this was all around my career. This was all around my inner desire to, you know, and it could have been in like a 30-year-old conversation that I was having inside myself about, I want to be famous and
sure.
not from a place of fame, meaning the lower part of fame, but just wanting to make a difference, wanting to be in a public eye that's big enough that you could actually make the difference. That's kind of how I thought of fame at that point.
Yeah, and you have your hopes, you know. This was a guy who was going to lead you to your dream.
Oh, totally. And that's what I thought.
And it was like, well, and what's wrong with that?
Yeah.
Until it's not. So when did you feel like vulnerable? Did you feel like a moment when you felt especially vulnerable?
I did. I think through the whole thing, I felt vulnerable because I was allowing this person to come in and just move me around like a chess piece. And I wasn't the only one. He was doing this, as I found out later. He was doing this to other people for whatever desire. He very narcissistic, you know, oh God, just ridiculous. And, you know, okay, that's what I wanted to say. You know, I was really seduced by his background, his achievements.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what really hooked me into it. It's kind of like, you know, when you have a job or even a relationship, you start to, you gotta kind of qualify them, right? So he was qualified.
Yeah.
You know, he wasn't a nobody coming in trying to tell me what to do and I was all manipulated. No, he was somebody that had background. He had talent. He had smarts. He was a beautiful, beautiful man. Like just, oh my gosh, talk about seduction. I mean, he really knew how to do it. And, you know, and it wasn't, for me, it wasn't seduction around
romance or relationship, but it was seduction around my career.
Yes.
And he knew that. He knew what I wanted, and he knew that I would pay for it. And I did. And you're right. Later on, it wasn't until later on. I did hear the voice. I did hear the voice, and I did consider the voice. And part of that place that I was telling you about feeling hostage, I held myself hostage around this, because if I was to stop and like own my voice, own my power and say, no more, I'm sorry, you'll have to do this on your own, whatever. I stepped back kind of as a mom figure and thought, okay, I have 30 people in this production that I'm taking care of, that are depending on me, that are selling tickets to their show because they're excited, because they're in this show. We have rehearsals. We have, you know, a variety of things that are happening. So yeah, I could step back and go, I'm done, you know, and I'm a lead. I'm one of the main leads in the show in Los Angeles. And I thought, no, I was definitely conscious enough to say, no, I'm going to hang in there. I'm going to bite the bullet. And the final straw, this was the final straw. We had finished the show. We did two shows back to back. And when we got done, we huddled in a circle, all 30 of us. And when he started talking, all he said was, thank you so much. This was this was so good for me. And I love you all for being here. And it was me, 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 me. I. No acknowledgement to, hello, the producer,
right.
The star of the show, nothing. And I sat there and I was like, wow. Wow. None of it. It was totally devoid of anything but himself. And then the topper was we had set up an after party at a club called the Scorpion. Of course it was in Los Angeles, the Scorpion and Dancing with the Devil. That would be me. And he left, and it was me and my assistant and another friend that cleaned up the stage, because that was part of what we had to do. So I'm in my costume, in my beautiful dress, cleaning up the stage, making sure everything's picked up backstage while everybody's out partying and he's holding court, you know? Mm-hmm. So that was it. And that was really the straw that broke the camel's back for me. And I literally took me, I, when I dropped him off that night, I said—
Oh, you dropped him off that night as well.
Of course.
Okay. First you do the cleanup. Let me get this. First you star in the production, and then
pay for it.
Yes. And then you are in a great circle after the show, and he is just saying how wonderful it's been for him. It's all about him. And then everyone goes trotting off while he's celebrating with them, and you're cleaning up the stage in your costume, your beautiful dress, and then you take him home.
Yeah. After. Mm-hmm. And then I've ready for this. I've invited the president or the vice president of Lionsgate New Digital Media to come, because he's a fan of mine. He comes. I had a millionaire. I had a bunch of people there that were there specifically to see me. And there was only short segments of the show that I was in. And they literally pulled me aside after I finally showed up, because they were waiting for me to come to the party, but I had to clean up backstage. They grabbed me, and my buddy said, I was here to see you. Where have you been? You know, what happened on stage? What happened? Why aren't, you know, I've been waiting for, you know, a good half an hour to buy you a drink and give you roses, you know? And I was like, you know, it was so crazy. It was so crazy.
Thank you so much for sharing that, because it's really interesting how our mind gets fogged by what's happening and the difficult decisions we have to make. You were responsible for 30 people. You felt that responsibility. It was really him as well, I would imagine. But you held onto that responsibility, and that's why sometimes it's not always easy to leave. We may recognize it, but it's like, well, we've got other things to consider.
Yeah.
And that's why it's really important not to ever judge a woman or judge anybody who doesn't get out right away.
Like that. Yeah.
Right. And first you got to recognize what the hell's going on. And then it's like, oh, well, now what else is the reality that I'm involved with? And what can I really and actually do?
But it's so interesting. So when you had those conversations with, you know, like the guy from Lionsgate or whatever, what happened afterwards? So did you cut the relationship off with that guy?
Yeah.
So tell us about that little bit before we go. Oh, yeah, I'm excited. Every episode, I offer a mini masterclass on the 11 Freedom Fulfillment Pillars. You can get the guidebook to all 11 Freedom Fulfillment Pillars right now. Simply go to vulnerabletovaluable.com and hit the subscribe button to get your copy. The only way to move forward and have an impact in your life is to get awareness of where you're at and discover what's holding you back. Following the 11 pillars, I was then able to develop strategies to create my business, become an international award-winning entrepreneur, speaker, and author, find the love of my life. And I use these pillars every day to create a fulfilled life. These are the same ones that I use with my clients. And now they are yours free. Go to vulnerabletovaluable.com and subscribe. And we're back with Glenda Benavides, award-winning singer and global badass goddess founder.
So what I did do is I did warn him. I did give boundaries. And those boundaries were, don't call me. I'm not going to be available for 2 weeks. I just need to rest. Like, this was a huge production. You have no idea. And so literally dropped him off. He heard what I said because we were in the car together alone. I hit a freaking phone call at 10 a.m. Hey, G, what are you doing? Like, can you come and pick me up? I need to go here. I need to go there. I'm like, what part of this do you not like?
Right.
You're not listening. You know, you don't care. So yeah, it was like, so I didn't respond. And I literally took 2 weeks off and I sat in a room by the beach and I wrote a letter to him. And I made sure that letter was super clear and it wasn't blame. It wasn't guilt. It wasn't poor me or wasn't any of that, because I do have those, I do have those skill sets, you know? So I was very conscious of that, but he still needed to know what happened, where I was, that kind of thing. So I was taking responsibility. It took me like over a week and a half to write that thing.
Sure.
Right?
Of course. Because there was a lot of emotion and you got to get the emotion out of it, right? By the way, and then for you to really be that conscious, even though you're conscious, still you have you're a human being with, you know, you said I'm a human, you're a good human, but you have human emotions.
Yeah.
And not to be ignored. And so you're aware enough that you know how it should come across, but it takes quite a few iterations. So I want to acknowledge you for really going, you know, stepping up, taking the responsibility for what is yours and making the statement, which we're going to hear in a minute, of, you know, what it is and how you're going to move forward. It's not easy what you did. And so good for you.
Thank you. No, you're right. It wasn't easy. And it took me a while. I mean, yes. I had to write, rewrite, look at it from another perspective, you know, and here I'm all concerned about, you know, making sure that it lands and he gets it and no one's blamed and all this other stuff, even when he should have been blamed, probably hanged on and quartered. But I didn't do that, right? So boom. So finally, I got
it
together.
You took the high road. You took the high road.
So I took the high road.
Yeah.
And I literally opted out of the final production. Like we were done. Like I was not going to pursue this to the next level and so on and so forth because of all these things. And trust me, prior to all that, I second guessed myself a lot, you know? Mm-hmm. And I'd have friends around me going, what are you doing? He's totally using you. What are you doing? I'm like, I heard it. I can't hear you. Like I'm on a path. Mm-hmm. Don't do that. You know,
So yeah, people were recognizing it.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. The whole time. And I'm like, no, he's not, you know,
I don't want to bypass this because this is what women do.
Yes.
I mean, cause I can only talk from the women's point of view. But this is we make excuses for their behavior, right? Because we're involved. Either we've been in a marriage or like, or you've been in this relationship. And you're just like, well, it's okay. You know, he's helping me. He's doing this, right?
Right.
It's those kinds of things that we don't want to ignore. We want to, it's like, if that's happening, so that's what happened to me. I didn't realize that was a sign.
Yeah,
so
you're right. And sisters around you, like women around you, if they're conscious at all and they love you, they will tell you. They'll go, you know,
But you may not be ready to hear it, right? And that's why you defend that person because it's like, no, you don't know them like I do, but they can see it because they're coming from the outside, but you're not ready to receive it. So it gets convoluted, and that's another reason why you can't get out when everyone else in the world thinks you should get out, or when
that's
you realize,
right.
Oh, that's that voice. Oh, but it doesn't all come together that smoothly and that easily.
100%, you are correct.
So you've been writing this letter.
Right. So I send it, right? And we're talking, this is like energy that has now been put in for a week and a half to do this properly, right? Boom, send the letter. 10 minutes later, I get this email back. Oh my God, it was a paragraph and it said, you threw me under the bus. I threw him under the bus. And I was like, the audaciousness of that just blew my eyes open. And I had no idea about narcissism and people that are like that and gaslighting and a variety of different things. You know, I had no idea. Like I'm a straight shooter. I didn't grow up like that. And I don't think at that point I really had too many people like that in my life. So I was shocked. If you could see my eyes and my mouth, they were wide open.
Yes.
Like, and then I got angry.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, I got angry. And then he's the one, there was a few people that he had as my partner. He had been one person he had been sleeping with in the cast. She was the younger version of me in the show.
Mm-hmm.
He had been sleeping with her and messing her around. And then the two choreographers that he was working with, he had promised them money when I had said in the group, we have no money. Like I operated that whole production in Los Angeles. We were in the black. Like nobody made any money, but we paid the bills and mm-hmm. we had the experience. And that's what happened.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but now he's telling me, he didn't tell me anything. It was the people, a couple of people, the choreographers that called me and said, hi, so told me to call you and you owe us $300 for our, you know, and I'm like, excuse me? And then now they're mad at me,
mm-hmm.
you know, they're angry at me. And I'm like, I have no idea what you're talking about. Never told me this. I did not agree to this. I can't agree to this because we don't have money. There was a part of me that was willing to like dig into my own pocket and pay them. And I said, stop it, Glenda. Stop paying for everything. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and mm-hmm. I did feel
sorry.
You
want to make it better.
I totally want to make it better, mm-hmm. you know, and especially with these people, because now they're in the wake of this disease
mm-hmm.
that I had no idea of. So anyway, so that's what happened. I sorted that all out. Then after that, I left Los Angeles and this was the healing part for me. This was the time that when I came home, I was a shut-in for like 2 months, licking my wounds, feeling so bad about who I was. How could I let this happen? I lost all that money. My career is not moving forward. I don't know. You know, I was just lost. And my dear husband, he lets me have my experiences. So he was definitely there for me, but, you know, he just said, you should get together with a group of your closest friends and ask them questions. And I thought, I will do that. So that's part of the healing, which I can share more about. But
yeah, this is, thank you for sharing this because it just shows you how this experience just knocks you off your feet. All of a sudden you've lost your confidence. You're like, I'm not good enough. I don't know. You know, your whole value is just sucked. Sometimes they're called energy vampires, hijackals. There's a friend of mine, I think that's her term that she calls them hijackals, energy vampires. That was another term. All of these things where you're reeling from this experience. I mean, it knocked you out for 2 months. What happened to me? Where is the real me, right? How we talked about in the very beginning about fully self-expressed. It's like getting back to knowing the real you and blaming ourselves. How much
Completely.
Did you blame yourself? Yes.
Oh, yes. Oh yes. I mean, yeah, it was a, let's take a next level and do a beat up party.
Right. He was already really kind of dragging me through the coal, you know, gravel and coals and everything else. But that was enough. I'm going to do it to myself. You know, we start to judge ourselves and do it, you know, so.
Totally. Completely. Well, and you know, as any entrepreneur or anybody that's investing love, time, care, passion into anything, you know, and then it doesn't, of course, go the way that you feel that you've invested time and love and passion in. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so you're dealing with not only that, but you're also dealing with how they treated you.
Why you let that happen, right? Like, why? Again, self-blame, right?
Yes. Again, self-blame. And then as women, we start going, I don't know about all you women, but what I did was I went, why did I attract that? Why, you know, why, what's wrong with me that I would let this happen? And, you know, you start looking at within, which is fine. I think it's good to self analyze and look, you know, be accountable, you know, look for that accountability. Like where was I, you know, in that phase? And I think what I found out in part of that you can go too far into blame, but with the analyzing that part of yourself, what I did find out was it was a self-esteem. It was my mm-hmm. self-esteem, and I wasn't loving myself enough or thinking I was good enough.
Right.
Right. I'm not good enough. So that's what was showing up. And I went, if you're not good enough, then you're going to give your power away. You're going to do all kinds of crazy things
to just prove. So
you, thank mm-hmm. you. Mm-hmm. That you're good enough. Mm-hmm. And in essence, I mean, it took me a little bit longer, but in essence, I found out I'm already good enough. Mm-hmm. I'm already there, you know, just, and that's,
but you didn't have that belief yet, right?
Yeah.
And so that's what, you know, if we want to say that's what allowed us to just be taken advantage of it. And we're not, I think for both you and me and all the women, it's like, you're not expecting, you know, like you, I had a normal childhood. You're not expecting anybody to treat you that way. I'd never been with a narcissist. I didn't even know it truly. I didn't even know narcissism until after I came back. I mean, even though I was in the middle of, I knew it was an abusive relationship, but I still didn't quite pick up all the narcissism piece in it. So it's all this vocabulary that's like, until you can kind of identify, it's kind of like you're just in this wonder world of what is this? It just doesn't feel right.
Exactly. Exactly. That's 100%, man. You don't know it when you're like, I'm hanging out with a narcissist. You know, you're not doing that, right?
Fully fledged. It's like, I'm enjoying this. I'm enjoying being beat up emotionally and verbally and put down and being a slave and jumping through hoops and everything else. And it's just like, oh, but you know, I got to do this. I want to make it work. Yeah. I want to make it work.
I want to make it work. Yep. Well, it's, you know, it's that solution. I'm a solution-based person.
Exactly.
Right?
Same here.
So you're not going to give up. You're going to hang in there because it'll shift. It'll change. Get better. You know, they didn't mean that. You know, you just go through that whole nonsense. You're just like, what am I saying? Yeah. You know, and somebody told me one time, they said, people will show you who they are right away. So just get out of fantasy land, pretending that someday, one day, they'll do X or they'll be X or whatever. It's like, no, they are who they are, you know?
Right. But we're not aware at that time. So, but you know, now we're aware. And that's the whole purpose of this.
Yes.
Or one of the main purposes of this podcast is to, okay, create that awareness. And plus to help these, you know, help my listener not blame herself anymore.
Totally.
Get out of that self-blame, to get out of I'm not good enough kind of thing.
Totally.
So what were some of maybe the key things that you did? I mean, you've already given us a few of them, but that helped you shift to where you are now, because, you know, as you're explaining some of your past, it's really clear that you've healed a lot. You're on a much higher level, but I know at the time that wasn't the thinking. What were some things that maybe you can share that really was impactful for you to move out of that?
Yeah.
Not good enough phase maybe.
Yeah. For me, I think it was just giving myself time. Like, I did step back. I was fortunate enough to step back and not have to like run off to work or take care of kids or do any of that. Okay. So this is just my scenario, but I got to step back and I got to feel bad for a while and I got to beat myself up for a while. And then I finally stopped. And the main shift for me was I had gotten away from the situation, obviously, and I'd completed it. And yeah, I had all these other feelings around it. But what I did was I decided that the power move would be to bring in the people that really love me and the ones that I trust and ask them some questions about who I was to them.
Oh, who you were to them. Oh, interesting. Okay.
And when I did that, I gathered there was a group of girls. There was probably, I don't know, probably like six good lady friends of mine.
Okay.
And we literally sat in my front room and we got together and I said, hey, I called you here because I really need to get a sense of reality here. Like I am strung out here on emotion. Yeah. And I said, who am I to you? And each one shared deeply about who I was for them and who I was for the world. And what I distilled down was that I was someone who never gave up.
Mm-hmm.
And that quality was to be acknowledged and honored, even in the face of something as painful and as dire as that. And it really led me to that voice. You need to work it out. When you hear that voice, instead of going, oh, I can't do that, I've got lots of people that depend on me. No, you need to step back, honor yourself enough to say, well, let's work this out. So I either A, stay in it and make sure it works for me, or B, I am going to step away right now and just take that risk, take that chance. Because that's the scary part. I was not willing. I was willing to put my inner voice aside.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't have to deal with the emotions or the fear of telling this man, we're done. I'm out. Good luck.
Interesting. Yeah. It's so interesting how we do that. I mean, I get it 100%. So it was like, it's okay to let somebody else mistreat you and try to make all the peace and make it work. But it's not okay to be kind to yourself.
Right.
That was not okay. It was not okay. It was more important to be kind to the other person at the cost of you, at the cost of your career, at the cost of your health, at the cost of your relationships, everything. And crushing you to please somebody else who we figured out, you know, somehow that they're not pleasable and we're not here to please anybody,
yeah,
but to show up fully. So as you said that, it's like, yeah, in both cases, it's like, I have to be courageous, going back to your thing, I have to be courageous to honor myself.
Yeah, 100%. And that's where the rubber would have met the road. Yes, I did the cleanup. Yes, I did the work. Yes, I had to review all that. Yes, yes, yes. I mean, it took me with him, it took me literally, I would say probably 2 to 3 years. I can't remember. But I remember I was visiting a friend in Oregon. We were driving down the road and I had like, you know, like animosity towards yeah. this person. And I was like, I don't need to hate on them, but I don't ever want to talk to them. Like, but I knew that in my heart, that was still there, that deep hurt. And I literally, it was Christmas time. And I remember being in the car in Oregon with a good friend of mine, driving down the road. And I had thought of him came into my head. And I thought, oh, you know, he did the best he could. And, you know, whatever I told myself around that. And I yeah. literally had a feeling of love, like came into my heart, love, mm. like literally love. And then I was grateful. I said, you know what, on a higher level, right? A spirit level. I said to myself, thank you for playing the bad guy to help me really see that I am worthy enough, that I am good enough, and that I'm a contribution, and nothing in the outside world is going to make that happen, you know, except for me, you know, and what I believe, my depth of my own belief. And in that moment, it's so funny, he literally called me. The phone rang and he called me.
Wow.
And I was like, oh my God, it's him. And
transmissioned quickly.
It did. And then we spoke and that was fine. And then probably like a year or so later, I'm just guesstimating, he called me and said, "Hey, G, what are you doing?" I'm like, "Da da da da," and he's like, and it was so great. It was like spirit really testing me because he literally, you ready for this?
Yeah, I'm ready. I'm anticipating.
He asked me if I would send him $800 so he could.
Touché. Good one, right?
So he could pay his electric bill, right? And any normal person would like, "Oh my goodness, you've got a child with you, you've got an electric bill, and you get, let me send you that money." And I said, I was like, I looked off to the side and I went, "Okay, spirit, you're testing me to see if I've actually, you know, going to be the
my
idiot.
Lesson here." Yeah.
Exactly. And I said, I actually don't have the money and I can't do that. I'm sorry. And I never heard from him again.
Good for you for standing in your power, not easy. Yes. Right. And I think this is also a really good example, Glenda, because those, whether it's the same person or another person, will keep coming back to keep, how if you want to call it, testing. But, yep. You know, it's like, did you get the lesson? Are you really honoring yourself? Are you being kind to yourself? Do you really believe you're good enough? Because it will happen over and over and over and over.
It does.
So I almost wanted to, you know, I'm sitting here with my mic and everything else, but it's like when you were telling, it's like, I wanted to stand up and give a standing ovation.
Good for you.
but it's so empowering what you've just shared, you know, just the journey, right?
Yeah.
You know, you had your couple of months where you were really deep in, you had those women who came to you. It's like, because you said, because this is what happens. They distort your reality.
Yeah.
Right? They distort the truth, but you don't know that it's distorted. And, you know, again, God bless your husband for just saying, "Hey, just get some of your friends over." But you came up with the questions and maybe you did it together. It doesn't really matter. But it was what women need to hear, that you are worthy, you are lovable, you are smart, you are kind, you can do it. And that experience is not a reflection of you as a human being, that something is wrong with you.
Yes, exactly.
So thank you for sharing that. Such a great, I just can just see, oh yeah, I'm going to call my girlfriend. I can just feel it all over. Okay, now we're going to have a sit down here. It's like, yeah, this is really who I am, because you lose yourself.
Yeah. Well, and the key for that too is, you know, make sure though that when you call a girlfriend, make sure you feel connected to them. And that they truly love and care about you and have your best interests. Because I know sometimes we have friends that have their own ulterior motives and they want to control you too, or they want to make you wrong or whatever. And I'm not saying that people tell you who you are, because that's not the truth. The truth is you are who you are.
Yes. Well, and of course you wouldn't. Exactly. I mean, those are all really good qualifications. And you're not, and to make it really clear, which I'm a big believer in, is not asking for advice from friends, because they're just not qualified. You know, I've been in this, you know, enough, and I've studied enough and worked with enough, but, you know, because they'll be using their own experiences, and that doesn't mean it's going to be helpful. But if you guide it to, like how you did it, somebody that you know really well, and you're asking them, "How do you see me?"
Yeah,
you're not asking for advice. So it creates a whole different perspective for you and for them, like what they need to focus on.
Yeah.
And then, you know, again, it's just another time to be tested. But I just think it's fabulous. That's such a great, great idea.
Yeah.
So Glenda, you have shared so much and your story is so important for everyone to hear, no matter what kind of relationship it is. And I think for me, you know, growing up in a, you know, pretty normal family, wasn't, you know, everyone's got our little issues and stuff like that. But you and I both were not aware of narcissists. We weren't expecting it. And I think most, when you go into a relationship, you're not. You're going in expecting mutual trust, mutual respect.
Yes.
And but we move on and we've learned great lessons and you're doing great things. So how can a listener find out more about you and what you're up to and your beautiful singing and all your projects?
Thank you. Yeah. Pretty simple. You just need to go to GlendaBenavides.com, and that's spelled GLENDA. Benavides is B as in boy, ENE as in Edward, V as in Victor, I, D as in David, E-S, .com. And on that site, not only is there my music, but music videos, but you can also see Global Badass Goddess, which is my weekend workshops for women to support them in their courage and confidence and empowerment. So they can go there and reach out to me and have a conversation with me and see if they want to come and do a workshop, a 2-day workshop. And I have a goddess circle. We get together once a month and just share our experiences and go through my book, which is called Courage. It's coming out the first of this year. And yeah, I think that's fun and just creating a really powerful community. And that's what I love about you, Rosie, is that I feel like you're part of that community. And, you know, I had the fortune to have interviewed you on my podcast. And, so I think we'll probably rerun that. So, but yeah, I just, would love to meet all of you ladies and support you however I can.
Oh, that's wonderful. Thank you so much for your generosity. So final question, Glenda, what does love is kind mean to you?
Well, so many things. Love is kind. Well, it really starts with yourself. You know, I love the little quote of, you know, when you're in the airline and they say, please put your mask on yourself first and then your child.
Right.
I was always confused by that, but it makes sense. I mean, on so many levels. You've got to love yourself. You got to take care of yourself so you can be a full vessel to overflow and share with other people. If you're empty and you have nothing and you don't know who you are and you don't feel confident or courageous or empowered at all, how can you run around and help other people? Well, you can't. You know, you really can't. You can only give them so much, and it's usually inauthentic. So that, to me, love is kind. If you're really standing in love, then it is kind.
Yeah. Beautiful. Thank you so much for your time, for your wisdom, for your beautiful stories, and for all the strategies that you shared. Have a fabulous day.
You're welcome. Thank you.
That's it for today's episode. Head on over to vulnerabletovaluable.com and subscribe to the show. When you subscribe, you'll instantly get a special ebook. And when you subscribe to the show and post a review to iTunes, you'll be entered into a drawing to win a free consult with me. Plus, your subscribing will help our mission to inspire 100 million women worldwide to heal and move forward from their abusive relationships. That's vulnerabletovaluable.com, the podcast that guides you to reclaim your voice, value, confidence, and courage.